We are excited because right now it's time to talk more in depth about birds, and Pam Perry joins us once a month. She is a retired non-game wildlife biologist from the DNR, and she lives in the Brainerd Lakes area. Good morning, Pam. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Heidi, and good morning, John.
Morning, Pam. Good to see you.
There are birds, aren't there?
Oh, my goodness. I was thinking yesterday, this is my favorite time of the year, is when things start happening, since I like birds. Herps aren't out yet, but all the birds are starting to come back. And yesterday, I saw the first red-winged blackbirds in the Brainerd area, and I had the first robin singing.
Hmm. Okay.
It looked like he was on a territory. Things are moving in, things are happening. And I always feel like this time of year, I can go out and so I'll see something new every day.
Yeah.
Which is so much fun. John, I was listening to your report. I haven't seen a harrier yet.
Hmm.
I've heard reports. I've just missed them. And maybe today.
Yeah. Maybe today. Well, you know, I haven't seen a robin yet, and maybe today. So. and that's, you know, that's sort of the nature of birds. Well, and butterflies for that matter. I mean, plants, you walk by them, you can stop and look at them. But birds, you have to intersect them. They have to, you and they have to occupy the same space at the same time. And then you
right.
have to be, you have to have your awareness open, you know. You have to be sort of receptive, because a lot of people can be outside and they might as well be in a cardboard box.
Right. And people miss things if you're not open and yep. listening and yep. watching. You have to be I think you said it earlier this morning, you have to be in the right place at the right time. And I think you were talking about the butterflies.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah, same thing.
Good. So I wanted to report, first chipmunk here was March 7th.
Ah. Mine sleep in. I
under
have
my
not...
feeders. And I went, oh, a chipmunk. Of course. And I will have many more.
Yeah.
And so I said the red-winged blackbird was yesterday. I checked my records for red-winged blackbirds. And last year I had one on March 12th.
Ooh.
And it was a very early bird. It came into my feeders. And of course, last year was very different than this year, weather-wise. And I think this bird came back north and went, oh, this was a mistake. I know where I can get some food, and came over to my feeders.
Yeah.
So, and otherwise, in 22, March 19th was my first, and 21 was March 16th. So yesterday was a little bit early.
Yeah, my average is right around the same time as the robins, which is about the 24th for the average. And I'm not surprised that you're earlier, because I know with Jeff Sipper at Crosby, we ran almost 20 years of records back and forth. And Crosby was about 4 days ahead of Grand Rapids. So you're another day ahead of Crosby, because you're that much south of them. So
yes.
5 days.
Yes.
So that's about right. If you add, five to your 19th, 20th, you're right in where I am. So
I was looking at this open pond by the FedEx building south of Brainerd. And I had a red-winged blackbird singing at the top of the tree by the pond. And then over on the other side of the road was the robin singing. And I went, spring is here.
Definitely.
This is it. Yes, this is it.
Those are two primary signs.
They are.
And you should.
Oh, I also wanted, you mentioned a mosquito earlier. I burn firewood too. And I occasionally get mosquitoes. And they're those big ones.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they kind of just float around and I ignore them, you know, and maybe I'll see one a year or so. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But I just kind of ignore them.
They seem sort of woozy and drunk to me, too, those big ones.
They're just getting there.
They seem sort of woozy and drunk to me, those big mosquitoes.
Yeah.
A little
yeah.
confused.
Yeah, they just sort of, like I said, float around. Mm-hmm. And they're not like the ones that dive right away, you know, when you get swarmed.
You may have heard me talking about the teacher in Duluth that opened the window and let the black fly out. This mosquito that was flying around my house is no longer among the living. If they bite, I kill. Yeah. I mean, that's just it. If it's a wood tick, if it's a deer tick, if it's a mosquito, if it's a black fly, and I get the chance, I'm going to end that one's life. I'm sorry. That's just how I go.
Yep. And I feel that way about deer flies.
Because
we get those here in the Brainerd area in the sandy soils.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And, no, I'm not fond of deer flies at all. And I do. You say they leave a mark. Well, deer flies actually leave a swelling.
Yes.
A mark and a swelling of some kind usually. Yep. So, yep, they're gone. Let's see. What else have I been seeing? Waterfowl, of course. The mergansers are on the river because the river is wide open. Common mergansers, hooded mergansers. I've been seeing kestrels out in the farmland.
None here yet.
Both in Crow Wing County and Morrison County. Not a whole lot of ducks. A few mallards. We found a ringneck duck down at Crane Meadows on Saturday. And lots of geese and swans. And I've had reports of tundra swans, but I haven't seen or heard any yet. But I've seen a lot of trumpeters moving.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the habits of the trumpeters that I hear a lot of comments about is people are seeing them sitting out in the middle of ice over lakes, right in the middle of the lakes. And they're like, what's going on? And my response is, you know, if you wanted to protect yourself from foxes or coyotes or otters or anything else that might like to kill you and eat you, what better place than, you know, 500 yards of open ice between you and shore. They're not going to get too close before you see them coming.
Right out in the open.
Yeah. Yep. Give me a spot just where like I can see. Yeah. And they're, for the most part, I think they're pair. In my case, they are pairs, and I wouldn't be surprised if they are resident pairs. I have a pair that nests on my lake, and I suspect that they're just out there on the ice waiting for, you know, open water. And now there is a little open water. I think in a week or so, the ice could be out if the weather stays, you know, as it is above zero. So,
yeah.
Zero being
freezing. And I'm seeing pairs and I'm seeing family groups as well.
Yeah.
And with that, I wanted to mention that I went out birding with a friend on Saturday, and we went down towards Crane Meadows in Morrison County, southeast of Little Falls, because we were checking the river on the way down, looking for waterfowl, and then we went to Crane Meadows. There's a flowage through there. That's where we saw the ringneck duck and other waterfowl, and then we worked our way back again, and we found a big flock of Lapland longspurs.
Wow. I don't get, I think in all of the years I've been observing, I've seen maybe a couple. We're too woody here.
Yes, you are. And this was in an open fields, wide open. And of course, Lapland longspurs, for people who aren't familiar with them, and most people are not, because they're uncommon and they don't come into backyards. They're not in the wooded areas at all. They're a tundra bird. They're kind of sparrow-like, but they have more markings on them. And this was a big flock. At first, we thought there was 20, and then 40, and then we said 80, and maybe 100. And they were out in this big open field. And we got so excited because they're on their way back to the tundra, to the Arctic Circle area. And
they've got a ways to go.
and it was one of those rare times where we said, you intersect with something that's moving like this, and they're not going to stick around at all. And that was really, really fun. And the other unusual thing we saw on Saturday is we had Bohemian waxwings at a couple different locations and robins at other locations. So we had the spring bird and the winter bird.
Do you know, one year I had a call from a friend of mine, and he told me about a flock of waxwings in his yard that contained one robin. and this was a wintertime sighting. And I was like, yeah, that was a smart move for the robin. You know, they're all eating fruit. And, you know, if you've got 50 waxwings, that's 100 eyes looking for fruit. And so it's not a bad relationship to strike up if you're a lone robin in the countryside.
Right. And I've seen that too. And I always check Bohemian waxwing flocks. Occasionally there'll be a cedar waxwing or two in there, and occasionally a robin. And otherwise, other times, they're just straight Bohemians. And they're out looking for those crab apples and moving all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
So another thing I wanted to mention is I have discovered a new bird watching migration tool called BirdCast. Are you familiar with that?
No.
BirdCast. It's one word, and they have, during this time of the year, it's from Cornell University and Colorado State and UMass. They monitor radar at night for the number of birds moving through an area. Hmm. So you can type in your county, and it will tell you how many birds migrated through their estimate, which is, of course, all computer-generated. How many birds moved through last night in your county?
Wow.
Which I think is just amazing.
Yes,
and going
really
into spring, and of course, the main migration here is where it'd be more mid-April and then, of course, into May. But there are still lots of birds moving at night through our counties. And so I checked it for last night. It said for Crow Wing County, 3,300. And for Sunday night, with that south wind, 5,500. But when we get into later April and May, it's going to be tens of thousands.
Yeah. Yeah. It's astonishing when you look at those numbers. Just how many
birds. And I would encourage people, check this out. It's free. You know, you can Google it on your phone or on your laptop, and just, it's BirdCast, and then just type in your county, and it will also tell you what birds are expected to be migrating through your county last night.
So you not only get a number, but you also get a best guess of what birds they might be.
A best guess of what's there. I saw Heidi just shaking her head like, really?
Yeah, because I'm looking at Itasca County now at BirdCast, and it's 4,800 birds crossed Itasca County last night.
Wow.
This is really cool, Pam. Thanks for telling us about this.
I know it's really cool. I just kind of discovered it, and now it's one of my new latest things of, oh, let me check this for last night. Can you scroll down, Heidi, and see what the expected birds were?
Let's see. I'm not seeing. It says that. Oh, and this one, it says cannot be reliably determined for this region.
Okay.
On this night.
Well, they did. And so for a while, Crow Wing County was that way. And mm-hmm. then it switched to starting to list birds like cranes and killdeer and things like that. So it'll come in. It's just, I think you're a little early. You know, it's you guys are further behind us.
Again, Pam's telling us about something called BirdCast. It's from Cornell. How do I describe that? Cornell Lab. They're the ones behind Merlin, too, which I also
they
love.
Are.
I'm very excited to begin my usage again.
And Merlin is the great app that you can download, and it will tell you what bird that is singing in your tree. And I was using it yesterday just to check out some areas in case I was missing anything, but I pretty much heard everything that was out there. So I got one more thing, if we have time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We have our bird club meeting this week. This is the Benashi Council, and it's our bird club's meeting on Thursday at the Arboretum at 7 p.m. We're going to have a program on loons by a guy named Steve Manum, and Steve is from the Park Rapids area, and he's a wonderful photographer, and he's also been working with loons for many, many years on Mantrap Lake, Big Mantrap Lake. And what they have done there, and I went and visited them years ago when I was working for the DNR, they developed, because they had an engineer on their board, they developed aluminum loon platforms. And I called them loon pontoons. And they have just a wonderful, wonderful program of volunteers and success in raising loons on Big Mantrap Lake. And that's what he's going to be talking about, what they've done over the years and how they've done it, how they set it up with their all the people who live around the lake. And he said that I think this latest issue of Lake Country Journal, they were featured in there. So if anyone has Lake Country Journal, they can check that out. If people want to come to the Bird Club meeting, it's free, open to the public. All you have to do is show up, and we have coffee and treats and a very welcoming group of people there. 7 p.m. at the Arboretum.
Thanks, Pam. Really quickly, one of the, I think it was just south of you in Little Falls, the kids were using Merlin, and they had a tufted titmouse identified. Is that a bird that is outside its range, or is it at the northern edge of its range there? What, I don't see them up here.
No, they're at the northern edge, and that's a good sighting. That's really great. I've had one tufted titmouse in Crow Wing County, and it was down in the southern edge towards Morrison County, and I've had one tufted titmouse in Aiken County.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yes, good. They can occur there. They're at the northern edge of their range, and possibly with warmer weather, we're going to be seeing more of them. You never know, because they're definitely a southern bird. When I lived in the southeastern states years ago, I mean, they were all over. They were very, very common down there.
Yeah, like chickadees. My brother and I were down in Georgia for a wedding in the northern part of the state, and we were out hiking, and we could hear this bird calling and calling and calling, and this was well before Merlin, and we chased that thing around in the woods until hell wouldn't have it, and finally I got it in my binoculars and got a look at it and got into the book and went, oh, tufted titmouse.
And they're loud.
You know, anybody probably living around there would have heard it and gone, oh, that's the tufted titmouse, but mm-hmm. for a guy from northern Minnesota, you know, it was a whole new song and a whole new experience, so yeah, great.
Exactly.
Well, yep, Pam, it's always a pleasure. Yeah. Great to chat with you. Look forward to speaking with you again in the next month. And we'll have even more birds to talk about then.
That sounds good. I look forward to it. And everyone, get outside. It looks gorgeous again today.
It sure does.
Thanks, Pam.
Mm-hmm. Yep.